Well, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a great, great morning, isn't it? It's early, but we can be so thankful. The reason we're gathered together is because of the most important day that's ever happened in the history of humanity, and that's that Jesus Christ resurrected. Amen. And we just want to be here to celebrate and rejoice in him and his goodness and all that he's done. And we're just thankful from the Lord that he has loved us so much, that he's been faithful all this time, and that he's faithful now. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're just going to worship the Lord this morning, and then we're going to have some communion and some preaching, and we're just going to let God do what he does. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to thank you again for being out early on this Easter sunrise service. And I tell you what, I just think that this is a reflection of your relationship with the Lord and what you have going on and how much God is doing in your life and how much he wants to continue to do in your life. And, you know, I think what we're going to do is we're going to start by taking up the offering, and I'm not going to even preach a message about the offering today. We're just going to give a thanksgiving offering unto the Lord, your tithe, your offering, whatever it is you've prepared for Jesus today. And we're just going to have you bring that up, and we're just going to let the Lord just move on our heart and touch us, because that's what he does. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we're just so thankful on this Easter sunrise morning, God. We're just so thankful for the work you've done, for what you did to save us and bring us out of darkness and into life, God. And Father, this morning we just give our offering in thanksgiving. We give our tithe knowing that you rebuke the devourer, God. We give our offerings today, and we know that you will just increase everything that we have, God, and that you protect us and you protect who we are and what we have, God. And Lord, you said that it's your will to make us a delightsome land. You said it's your will to do something to us so that others will look over and ask us why we have hope. And God, I just thank you in the name of Jesus that your people are a reflection of hope and they are a reflection of you, God. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, before we do communion today, I'm going to preach at you just for a few minutes here, because something by the Spirit of the Lord really just struck my heart. And it's in Mark chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "And Christ was entering into the synagogue, which was his custom, and there was a man there with a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man with the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." But what I really want to look at here is, here we have a man with a withered hand. In other words, part of him does not have the fullness of life in him. He's sitting here with this withered hand that will not work and cannot do anything. And here comes Jesus in the midst of it. And who knows how long this man had a withered hand. But the minute Jesus comes in the midst of it, the situation is fixed. And what's so powerful about this is, on this Resurrection Sunday, this is what we're thankful for. This is what we're seeing. This is what we're excited about, because we know that Christ comes into life and he takes every withered place and he fixes it. Now, ours might not be a withered hand today, but we have areas in our life that need the touch of Christ on them. And we've had areas of our life that have needed the touch of Christ in the past, and we have seen him be faithful. Amen? Amen.
And so this morning, as we gather here together, one thing we want to know is, are we going to continue to let the Lord touch the withered places in our life? Because he was willing, you know, really, there was a law out that they didn't do anything on the Sabbath day. It said that the people could come during the week and they would pray for them and heal them. But on the Sabbath day, they usually didn't do that stuff. It wasn't the law. It was against the law to do that. But you see how Christ in his urgency was that he wanted this man's situation fixed now. And I want you to know something, that anything you have going on in life, the Lord is really, really not only willing, but he desires to fix what you have now. And he will fix what you have now. Amen? And he wants to come into our life, and he wants to be a part of fixing and handling our situations. This morning, as we think about Easter, I want you to just remember what the Lord really did to bring this to pass. How much he was really willing to take on, because he took his whole life and gave it up for us. I mean, he went through things that he did not have to go through. He went through treatment that he was not deserving of. He handled the embarrassment, the shame, the beating, the spitting upon him, the smoting in his face, the lying upon him. He handled all of that just so you and I, when we have these withered hand situations, we can come to him and be healed. And we can come to him and see what he has to do for us right away. Amen? And so this morning as we stand here, I just want to encourage you to make sure that you have your heart open to see what God will do. Amen? Now we're going to get ready to take communion in a few minutes. And after that, I'm going to be available to pray for people. And we're just going to see what God will do this morning. But I want you to be thinking about this situation here where the Lord came into this gentleman. And I want you to have an open mind. Because this man had to be willing. He knew the law as well as Jesus did. He had to be willing to stand up in the midst of this crowd of people that he knew and reach towards Jesus even when it wasn't the law. Amen? In other words, the man with the withered hand had to quit caring what people thought about him. He didn't care what people thought he was involved in. He knew that Jesus had saved and set free, and he knew what he was reaching towards. Amen? And we want to make sure that we are not afraid to reach towards Jesus just because what people may think or say. Amen? Because if they love you, they're going to support you anyway. People that love you and care about you, they're going to support you no matter what you do in pursuit of the Lord. Amen? And so we want to make sure that we're willing to stand up in the midst of anything that might be going on and stretch forth our hand as the Lord directs us so that we can be healed. Amen? Wow. I think that's so interesting that a withered hand had no life in it until Jesus spoke and then life came. And that was the whole point of him going to the cross, is that he knew that there would always be places that needed his touch to bring life to them. Amen? And that's what he wanted to do. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare your glory this morning, God. God, we just lift you up and exalt you, and we declare your goodness, Father. And we declare your praise, God. And Father, we just thank you for this day and this time together. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I think before we do communion, I think we should do one more song. So I'm probably putting the worship team on the spot here. But I'm going to let you guys do one more song. Then I'm going to come and we're going to do communion.
ready to partake of communion, we just want to reflect on the salvation that Christ gave us, on the price that was paid, because so many of us have felt like we don't deserve anything, that we're not worthy of anything. In the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the actual event, we say story because it's truth. It's truth. It's not a made-up story. Shows that you're worth more than you think you are. Because not only did Jesus come and live among us and suffer the things that we have suffered, he got to choose and not choose what he would do too. He was man. He was human. He was God, but he was human. And so things came up to him, I'm sure. Temptation just like it did us. The devil tried to tempt him up on the mountain. Amen? After the 40 days of fasting, the tempting came. And he stood on the word of God. He didn't fall into temptation. He lived a sinless life. Now you and I know how hard that is. But he accomplished it. And then, you know, he walked among these people daily. They tried to grab him so many times that they could never get a hold of him. Jesus would just get through the crowd. Well, how would he do that? Well, the Holy Ghost was with him. His Father in heaven was protecting him every single step of the way, because nobody could take Jesus until it was time to take Jesus. So then you have to think about that. At the garden, when he was truly praying and telling God, take this cup from me, he sweated blood. I've been in some really tough situations, and I've been stressed beyond stress, and I'm not saying Jesus was stressed. I'm just saying he was at an impasse in his life that he knew the road he was getting ready to walk was great, and it was going to be painful. It was going to be an action that was going to take everything he had to be able to get through it. And he also knew when he walked this path that God would have to turn from him. Because if God doesn't turn from Jesus at any time, they can't do what they're going to do to him. Right? So he's sweating, not let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but yours be done. Think of how much Jesus loved his Father above everything. He loved his Father so much, and he trusted his Father so much that he knew no matter what he did, as long as it was the Father who told him to go and do, that things were going to work out. Things were going to happen the way that the Father had said it was going to happen. And your Father loved you so much that he's looking at his son. Just think about this. Look at your son or daughter. You know, think about your son or daughter. The Father loved you so much that he could see his son and he could know. He knew what Jesus was getting ready to go through. It had been prophesied for years and years and years. He knew the pain that his son was going to go through. Now, if you told me, Regina, soldiers are going to come in and they're going to take your son and they're going to spit on him and they're going to call him names, that's enough for me. Come on, mamas, you know. You ain't spitting on my son. You ain't going to treat him that way in front of me. But then to tell me they're going to push a crown of thorns that's going to dig into his skin on his head. And then they're going to beat him with cat of nine tails. Those soldiers better not even walk in the door. Because I don't care what I'd have to do. They're not doing that to my son. But Jesus, they did it to Jesus. And his Father sent him because you're worth something. If you ever think that you're not worthy of anything, listen, none of us were worthy of it, right? None of us deserved it. But he saw us. Just like I see my son, Philip, that I love. I see my son, Logan. I see my son, Josh, that I love beyond words. I see them and I think, but he loved his son. And he looks at you and you're his son or daughter. And he loves you. So Jesus went. And when he's in the thick of it. Oh, and then they're going to tell me they're going to hang him on a cross and put nails through him. And I'm going to be standing there watching, because y'all understand Mary was standing there. She was watching what was going on. How her heart must have fell out of her. How the Father's heart must have felt in that moment. But he knew the end goal. He knew what was going to happen afterwards. And so Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. And he went. And it says that at any time he could have called legions of angels at his side to rescue him off of this cross. When it's too much to bear, when it's too much, he could have called them. He knew the Father had looked away. He knew the fullness of the pain was upon him. He knew that he had to go through this. There's blood coming down him. All of that blood needed to be spilled. We sing a song that is so erroneous, it's not funny. One drop of blood that day was enough for humanity. You know that song? That's not truth. If it would just took one drop would have dropped. Took all of it. Took everything that dropped out of him to save us. Every bit of pain that Jesus went through is what it took to save us. And he did not call the legions of angels. Why? Because you're precious. There was a value on your head. And it was called Jesus. And what does he say at the end as people are mocking and scorning him? Probably some people that he had healed. Now, I don't know that. That's just a thought in my head. That's not in the word. Are mocking and scorning him. And he says, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. And then it is finished. That's your Jesus. That's why we celebrate him and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he went. I was thinking about this last night when I was in bed. He went to hell and held and led captivity captive. I hope that we get to see a movie of it. The real thing. God knows about movies, right? He's helped us create the stuff that we got. So I'm hoping we get to heaven. We get to see when Jesus went to hell and he led captivity captive. Because what a powerful force that just went into hell and blew it all up. And he took back the keys of the kingdom for you. Amen. Give him a hand. He's worthy. Amen. I don't want us to rush through this day and not really have the full thought and the full thing of what Jesus did for us. And I'm sure that we can't even put into words the fullness of what that day was like. But I'm telling you what, on that third day when he rose up, there was graves busting open. There was graves busting open. Dead people that were dead, was coming up with him, going on the street and witnessing. Man, what a day is it going to be when he comes back in the air and the trumpet blows and we meet him in the air. But the thing is, you have to hang in there. If Jesus can go through the trial of being on the cross, the afflictions, the everything that he went through, the battle of that, the mind thing he had to go through, everything physically, mentally, that he had to go through to be on that cross. And he persevered. And he knew the end was going to be what God said it was going to be. Then you need to persevere through whatever the enemy tries to throw at you. Because no matter what it is, it's never going to be as bad as it was on that cross. We can do this. We can do this. We can let yesterday go. We can fight through the battles that the enemy's throwing in our way. We can do this because why? We don't fight it alone. Because of what Jesus did, he lives on the inside of me in you. That's why we can do this. Because he fights for us. Amen. He goes before us. And all we have to do is follow after him. Yep, it's going to get bumpy. There may be even a few holes that we accidentally step in. But guess what? If we just get up and keep walking forward with him, we're going to make it through this. The seasons that come up that are hard, you're going to make it through it. And you're going to find that you're going to be better off coming through that season and getting through it. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for that your love for us was so great that you made the plan. We thank you, Jesus, that you went through with the plan. When we weren't worthy, when we didn't deserve it, you went through with it. And we just thank you and give you glory. And we praise your holy name today. We are so grateful for you.
Praise the Lord. Yes, give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now we're going to get to the time where we're going to have communion. So I'm just going to have you guys each come up and get your communion stuff. Yeah, and then you can go back to your seats. Realize it, but there's a very reverencing presence of God in the house right now. His presence is thick in this place. And that's because the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. When you show interest in God, he shows interest in you. And the Bible says what? Seek him and he will be found. In other words, when you seek the Lord, he's going to seek you back because he wants you and him to have that relationship. Amen. And I want you to know that the Lord's presence is in here because he loves you and because of what you're giving him. Amen. And so we're just going to look here at the scriptures. And I just want to remind you that when Jesus was eating the Last Supper with his disciples, he gave them some instruction because he wanted them to be able to keep a connection with him even after he was gone. And we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that it says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You know, when we take communion, it should not be some light little ritualistic thing that we do. It should be a part of our relationship, and it should be in honor of the Lord, letting him know, Lord, I'm going to live my best and do my best because I know you're coming back, and I want to be who you want me to be. And we ought to live for the Lord and do our best to make sure that we're just living the best life we can in honor of him and in honor of what he did for us and how he went to the cross for us. So when you eat this bread today, truly remember that Jesus' body was broken, beaten, and shed his blood for you and I so that we can remember that not only did he do that work, but he is coming back one day and we want to be ready. Amen? Let's eat. And it says, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." I want you to know something, that we have been waiting through the centuries for the return of the Lord. And I want you to know that it's closer than ever. Amen. Things have been fulfilled. Things have been done. We're ready for Jesus to return. And so every time we take our communion, it should be a remembrance to us that we are going to live and do our best to live for him so that we're ready when he returns. Amen. And so with that being said, let's take and let's drink. You know, I wonder all the things that Jesus told the disciples when he was in the room with them, you know. And we see in the scriptures some of the conversations we have, but I just wonder everything that he told his disciples, getting them ready for his return and getting them ready for him to go to the cross, because it was a tremendous thing. And I want you to know that when we read these scriptures, we should know that the Lord is speaking directly to us. He's speaking the same message to us in the Word of God that he spoke to his disciples whenever it was time for him to go up. And he's speaking to us these things that we will take in remembrance and that we will hold fast to him and that we will allow God to come in to every situation we have. Amen. And now that we've had communion, I'm going to give a few minutes for prayer. Anybody have anything that they need prayed about or would like for me to agree in prayer with them about this morning? Before we close up, I'm going to be here to pray with you. So anybody have anything they need prayer about? Yeah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, our Lord is a good Lord, isn't he? And he's a great God. Amen. All the time. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a break and we're going to break bread. And we got plenty of food out there. So make sure that even if you grab something to go, that you make sure that you stop by out at the table out there and get some food. And I think we got yogurt and fruit, and then we got a bunch of desserty type things out there. So everybody should be happy. And we thank God for each and every one of you, okay? Amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning.